weather-wise for our chili supper. I was telling you last week, I was hoping it'll be a little bit cool, and well, it is. Matter of fact, I looked at the weather this morning. I compared to the weather in Prattville, Alabama, to Lambertonville, Michigan, where my daughter's at, Toledo, Lambertonville, all that same area. We're 1 degree colder here than it was up there. So you wait till after church. I'm going to call her and let her know, hey, we have something to brag about here today. We beat y'all. Because they're always calling, or she is, wanting to know how hot it is down there. Well, listen, we were cool this morning. And so, but anyway, we're going to have our chili supper this evening at 5 o'clock. And now we encourage everybody that can bring your favorite chili recipe. Now, there are several ways that I've found that folks make chili. And you may have your favorite way of doing it, and let others try it. Listen, I also understand there's going to be some hot dogs over there. So I didn't know that until earlier. So there'll be hot dogs as well. So listen, we're going to have what we call a fall fellowship supper this evening. And so bring your chili, and you can bring whatever else you want, but chili's what we ask you to focus on. I think it's a lot easier than going out and making fried chicken and stuff like that, right? So chili, we'll make it simple on you. Have a great time of fellowship, and bring somebody with you if you'd like, but have some good fellowship together. Operation Christmas Child, there's some information on the table to my left. Several people have already put together boxes. Now, about, I think, Wednesday, November the 8th is the deadline on getting those in. Now, what is Operation Christmas Child? Operation Christmas Child is a ministry that Brother Graham put together with Samaritan's Purse, and it's a wonderful program. And, you know, a lot of churches are involved in this. We're not the only church. But a lot of churches, especially in the U.S., are involved in helping gather up boxes that they tell you what to put in them, what not to put in them, for kids around the world that need, you know, that maybe have something that they can open up on Christmas. And so several of you do that. We've got just about a two-minute video we're going to show you real quickly. And it kind of gives you an idea of what a child goes through when they open that box, all right? Do we have that video ready? Are you getting it ready? Okay. Let's go.
My name is Teddy and I'm 7 years old. I live in Paradise. Paradise is in the movie. My favorite things to do is sing and play and read. I live with my aunt, sister, little brother, big sister, and big sister. My grandmother, she teach me how to read the Bible all by myself and took me how to play. Close your eyes and talk. My grandmother was really kind and just like an angel. We used to play, sing, and read every day. The mama I used to call was my grandmother. My grandmother's mama used to make me happy. That's why I lived in my home and home today. I was learning my room. I sit on my knees and I talk to God. God, I need your Bible. A week later, God sent me for me a gift. The sheep was like that was very special. I feel like Jesus was giving it to me. I was very excited and I was shocked. Getting a gift was very good for me.
You know, that video is just a portion of what you can imagine goes on when a child opens those boxes. And you know, we take for granted that, you know, the fact that we all have a Bible. But there are many places around the world where, you know, a kid to say, hey, I'd much rather have a Bible than a toy, basically is what he's saying. You know, that's tells you something about life in other places. And so we have plenty of Bibles that sometimes we take for granted of even in our homes. But to know that when Samaritan Purse does this, they not only, you know, have the toys and the gifts. And, of course, if you'd like to put a small Bible in there, you're invited to do that or something. But, you know, there's information on the table to my left. Again, there's no charge to participate. They do ask if you can put a love gift in there. I think it's like $9, and that goes towards shipping in the boxes. That helps with that. So, anyway, that's a great ministry. Don't you appreciate what that ministry does around the world? And so I appreciate the Grahams and what they've done there. Let's go ahead, guys, and come together for our offering this morning. We were not able to do our gospel blitz yesterday due to the weather, as you can imagine. We have these outreach cards on the back table, but you can help us by helping pass these out. There's plenty on the tables in the back. If you need any extra, we'll be glad to get these. We will be rescheduling our gospel blitz for those who are planning on attending and going out, and we'll let you know the next date here soon. But appreciate those who were praying, but we're going to be rescheduling that. But pick up these outreach cards. It's a great time of year. They're fall looking. Great time of year if you're out and about shopping somewhere or just doctor's office. You know, just hand somebody a card. And there's some information there on the back that I think would be important for them to read. And you never know how God can use that to change their life. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering this morning. And Brother Chuck, if you'll lead us, please, in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be able to be in your house, your grace and your love, the gifts you've given us, Lord. We pray what we give back to you, Lord, will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Our kids are slipping off. For those of you who may be visiting, wondering where all those kids are going. Well, they're not going to eat, I don't think. No, they're going to church, their church service for their age group. So I appreciate our workers who help with that. Daniel chapter 1 is where we're looking at today. Just a reminder, if you're bringing chili this evening, it would be helpful if you can maybe be here about 10 till 5. That way everything's in place. And because at 5 o'clock we will be starting, so don't want anybody to miss out on your portion of what you have this morning. Daniel chapter 1 is where we're looking at today. Verse 8 and 9. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me, please, if you would, in reverence to reading this portion of Scripture. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, that is, he made up his mind, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank thereof. He requested, that is, he sought permission of the prince of the eunuchs. Now, the prince of the eunuchs was kind of like the commander of these officials, if we can kindly put it in modern day understanding, that he may not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God that we have before us today. What a blessing to know that we hold in our hands the most powerful book on the face of the earth. Lord, a book of love and not hate. A book that, God, that provides life. Lord, it directs us in living life and showing us how we are to treat others. And God, just simply a guidebook in life that shows us the great love of God that's been demonstrated to for all of us. Lord, we thank you for the word that we have before us today. Thank you, Lord, that it's a living book. Lord, I just thank you that what you have for us this morning, that God, that you have something that maybe can change our life for the better. Lord, just have your will and way to speak today in this service. Lord, if there is someone under the sound of my voice today that has never trusted you, never have become a true believer, not sure if they died they'd go to heaven, I pray that they would trust you before it's too late today. Lord, speak to every one of our hearts as believers. God, just help us to be attentive to the message you have for us as well. And God, if need be, may we respond to this altar a little bit later during our invitation time and just make some things right with you if need be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You know, as I'm sure you can agree with this statement, the Bible is filled with accounts of many godly men and women. As we have been looking at over the past several weeks in a series of messages, we've been looking at different men and women in the Bible, mostly men that we've talked about here recently, that are worthy of our emulation. You know, and today, of course, like some of the others that we've looked at in the past few weeks, we're going to look at Daniel. Daniel is very familiar to most all of us here today. If you have been saved for a good period of time or you've been in church, I'm sure even this portion of Scripture that we'll be reading from today, it's probably most familiar to you. Now, there's a lot about Daniel that we don't know about. How did Daniel become the kind of man that he was? And Daniel was a man who obtained preeminence, or in other words, greatness and power in his lifetime. And today, if there's one thing that I guess that stands out about Daniel that we've been talking about different men in the Bible that
of things that stand out about them that we ought to emulate, it would be greatness. Daniel was a man of greatness. Now, understand, Daniel was only great as God made him in that manner. That Daniel was only great as long as he put God in the rightful place of his life. Daniel started out preeminent among the children of Israel in his life. Daniel gained preeminence or greatness even among the wise men in Babylon. If you go back and study his life there in Daniel, he was given power over all of Babylon. He received similar power over the Media-Persian emperor. That's the western part of modern-day Asia. And he was very much liked by even non-believers of his day. Some might wonder, then how was Daniel able to reach these positions of power, of greatness, and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? How was he able to get to that point in his life? Surely he had to compromise his position. He had to compromise his convictions about matters in his life. And of course, as we look at Daniel and to understand his life, we have to look close at the book of Daniel. And if you've never actually read through the book of Daniel, it's a wonderful book in the Old Testament to read from. Yes, it deals with prophecies to some degree, but it also deals with this man of greatness in the Bible, who we don't put more emphasis on, of course, over God or the Lord Jesus Christ. But Daniel reveals his secret as you get into the book of Daniel, and he shows how we too can be successful without selling out to the world. Because you know what? As we look at the life of Daniel, we see he achieved many things. And we live in a day and time where it's so easy to sell out. Churches are selling out today. Preachers are selling out to the world today and compromising their convictions and standards that they are to hold to. And politicians we know are doing that. In other words, it doesn't just affect one particular group. It affects all of us. And Christians have to be very careful that we don't find ourselves giving in to the ways of the world just so that we can be accepted or successful. And teenagers, you know, they're in a particular position growing up, as we all try to teach our kids, you know, how to be careful about things in life and what to accept and what not to accept. I remember, you know, as a teenager in high school, I wanted, of course, to be popular to some degree, as most kids strive to do. I mean, and I found that, you know, sometimes to be popular, you may have to sell out when it comes to your convictions about things. And when I got saved at 11 years old, and of course, didn't always live for the Lord during my teenage years, because there was a time period in my life as a teenager that I wanted to fit in with the crowd. And so therefore, I found to fit in with the crowd, I had to kind of get on their level to some degree. And I realized, as a Christian, and I was convicted about a lot of that, I realized that wasn't for me. That wasn't what God would have me to be and do. So I determined, especially in my later years in high school, that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do it. And that meant, if I chose to live for God, that I'm going to lose some what so-called friends. And I found out, by the way, that will happen. But you'll also find out who your true friends are when you sell out to God. And I don't regret any of that. It just, boy, it bothered me to know that those who claimed to be my friend no longer wanted to associate with me, because I decided, as a teenager in my later years, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to start being faithful. I got involved in church, got involved in Sunday school, got involved in my teen department and so forth. And because I determined I'm going to live for God. But I also realized by doing so that I was going to have those that were no longer going to befriend me. And that did happen. And it bothered me. But yet God brought other people in my life that, much like that had I found had the same stand I had the same conviction. Matter of fact, God used my stand for God in some way to help bring some others who were wanting to take a stand for God but just didn't have the courage to do so. But yet, you know, and I challenge our teenagers to do the same thing. You take a stand for God, and He'll take a stand for you. We see that in the life of Daniel. And as we look at the life of Daniel, we notice that he achieved greatness. He did. And we see why he achieved greatness in about four areas. Number one, Daniel was a man of purpose. He was. He was a man of purpose. He received greatness in his life because he was a man that was had a purpose, endeavor that he has set out to do and to be for God. We find that Daniel, the Bible says in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. That is, he simply made up his mind. Kind of like, and I'm not comparing myself in any way to Daniel, but I remember as a teenager in my later years in my high school that I had to make up my mind, this is what I want to do for God and to be for God. And Daniel, here at a point in his life, as a Christian, he purposed, he made up his mind that what he was going to do for God and be for God. Now, as a young boy in a strange land, Daniel was immediately faced with a challenge to violate God's law. We see that in verse 8. And he was challenged to violate God's law by eating the king's food. Now, granted, you got to understand this. Being fed the king's food in his day probably was some good old eating. You know, I'm sure prime steak or whatever. I mean, the best. But, you know, it wasn't so much the food, the type of food, but yet what he was going to have to violate by eating of the king's food. You see, the food that was being offered to him and the reason that was being offered to him, because this food was considered pagan food and the drink was pagan, which reason it was pagan, it was devoted to the idols and to indulge into the king's food here would mean he would have to honor these particular idols or deities. It'd be much like someone saying, okay, I'm gonna give you, and this is what Satan does a lot of times, I'm going to give you the best of what I have to offer. In this case, it was the king's food. But you know, you've got to partake of it. Now, knowing that this is part of worshiping the devil. Now, as a Christian, who would say today, I would give that up to if I had to even had to worship the devil to do it? No, not a true believer wouldn't do that. Well, that was kind of where Daniel was at. He had a choice to participate, sit at the king's table maybe, eat the king's food, but the pagan food and the drink was that was offered to him was devoted to idols. And to indulge was to understand, it was understood when he indulged in it, that you were honoring these particular deities. So Daniel chose, of course, he purposed in his heart not to do that. And despite his youth and the obvious pressures to conform, Daniel, he purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God. And at no matter whatever the cost would be, he's going to uphold the purpose that God had placed in his heart. In other words, Daniel made up his mind not to engage in compromise by being untrue to God's call and to God's commitment. Boy, that's something that we all need to do today, don't we? To strive to be great for God, then we have to determine, hey, I've got to have purpose in my heart. I have to make up my mind like Daniel here. And by the way, because of Daniel's willingness to put God first, you know what God did for him? We see in verse 9, God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. Look in verse 9. And now God had brought Daniel unto favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch, or in the sight of the eunuch. Now, what did God do this? How did God work this out? Now, like the example of Daniel, we see that God honors those who honor Him. That's always a true statement. God will always honor those who honor Him. Young people, you can never go wrong by taking a stand for God and doing what's right. And as adults, we know that. Sometimes we don't live it as we should, but we can never go wrong by choosing to do it God's way versus our way. And that's what Daniel chose to do. And we see God honoring Daniel, though through God's sovereignty, Daniel's found favor in heathen leaders. In other words, it took God to move in the heart of these heathen leaders to say, hey, you know, I like old Daniel. I don't know why I like Daniel, but I like him. I mean, you see, God can change the heart of a wicked man or a woman, can he? In this case, he changed the heart of these prince of the eunuch, which the prince, again, of the eunuch, he was kind of like the head guy. He was the commander over all these that were under him. And he liked old Daniel. It says that in that scripture. He says he found favor. Daniel found favor and tender love in his sight. And how did that happen? Well, God changed his heart. Which, by the way, had this not happened, then he could have probably been Daniel could have been opened up to some sort of persecution or even disrespect. But yet it was turned around in just the opposite. Now later on we'll see this morning that God allowed opposition to come Daniel's way. God allowed opposition. Yes, God sometimes may allow that. Which also we'll see where when God allowed that, Daniel was still elevated. In other words, not everything's going to be a bed of roses when we take a stand for God. God may allow some things to happen, but as long as we purpose in our heart not to give in to compromise or the ways of the world, God will continue to elevate us, right? Because, you see, God honors those who take a stand for Him. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9. Look there with me. Because of the willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel favor in the sight of God. We see that. Now, we won't turn there, but God also did this for Joseph. If you remember in Potiphar's house in Genesis chapter 39, you can see where Joseph took a stand for God and God honored Joseph and blessed him. And there are other examples in the Bible when others put God first, God will honor those. And Daniel purposed in his heart. And you know, every true believer needs to be a person of purpose. Would you agree with that? Amen? Every true believer needs to be a person of purpose. No one respects a wishy-washy person. I know I don't. You know, we see that in the political realm where, you get these politicians sometimes, and they're not all bad, but there's enough of them up there, right? We do need to clean the swamp out, I guess they call it. But there's enough of them up there. You don't, from day to day, you don't know where they stand. And then when election times comes around, then you find, boy, how all of a sudden they've become real conservative. All of a sudden they've become, you know, strong on the Word of God. And by the way, there's some good ones up there. So I'm not whitewashing everybody. But we find that, boy, don't you have a problem with those who just not strong, not just around political time, but they're not strong on a daily basis. Christians ought to be strong for God. Christians need a purpose. We're expected, by the way, the world to have a purpose that we stand by. We're strong in our purpose. And by the way, a strong sense of purpose breeds respect and admiration in others, doesn't it? I mean, it does. When you find that you're taking a stand, then there's those that say, I like that person. You know, I may not agree with them on everything. Matter of fact, there's a lot that sometimes you may find you disagree on. I remember when I was at Liberty, Dr. Falwell was my pastor there at Liberty University. And sometimes Dr. Falwell would bring in people that were somewhat questionable, just as speakers. And sometimes he would invite them into the chapel. And I remember Ted Kennedy came one time, and he spoke in our chapel. Now, when Dr. Falwell got up to introduce Ted Kennedy, now, they were friends. They didn't agree on much. And Dr. Falwell, when he got up to introduce Ted Kennedy to speak in our chapel, he says, you know, and Ted Kennedy's sitting up there, and he says, you know, we're friends, and he says, we disagree on most everything, politically, but we're friends. And he says, I want y'all to be praying. And Ted Kennedy's sitting up there. He said, I want you to be praying that we can help bring him into the kingdom. Yeah. And Ted Kennedy gets up and he says something very nice about Jerry Falwell. I mean, they're buddies. And Dr. Falwell would meet with us preacher boys one-on-one. There's about 200 of us once a week he'd meet with us. And, of course, he would take ridicule from those on the outside, sometimes other preachers, for doing that. But he told us, he says, I don't expect everybody to do what I do. But he said, this is a ministry that God has given me to try to reach some people of influence. Phil Donahue was another one. You know, that he often was invited on the Phil Donahue show and Larry King and all of these and a lot of the Hollywood figures out there. He was able to go out there and really minister to them and he would preach to them and literally share the gospel with them. Not every preacher had that open door of opportunity, but God gave Jerry Falwell that open door of opportunity to walk through that, and he always used an opportunity. If you ever saw the Phil Donahue show, which goes way back, right? Then you'll notice he never, and even Larry King, he never ended the program in an interview until he shared the gospel. He always did that. I remember one time he had Jesse Jackson, which I don't particularly care for Jesse Jackson to this day. I disagree with him. But he had Jesse Jackson there. And that was a real controversial thing, just simply because of Jackson's message on some things. And not because of his skin color or anything to do with that, but he invited him there. And, of course, that was a controversy. Now, I wouldn't invite Jesse Jackson here, okay? I wouldn't invite Ted Kennedy here, okay? I didn't have that open door of influence. But Dr. Falwell had that open door of influence. Much like Daniel had an open door of influence to get to be able to sit at the king's table, to be able to be able to be around people that we would maybe never rub shoulders with, all so that Jesus could be seen in their life. Daniel was that kind of Christian. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, we have to come to a point that we do the same thing in our life if we're going to be something of greatness for God. Jesus makes it clear in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus says in that passage in Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now Jesus in this passage was urging the unsaved to seek salvation. You go back and study that. That's what He was doing. Seek salvation, and when you find salvation, when you come to know Christ, then you'll find that you're set up now for the full provisions of God. That whatever is owned by God is given to us. This morning I was given a sent a text by a preacher friend of mine over in Mississippi, Mike Stansel. And listen to this text. Boy, it just fired me up as a preacher. I walked in here a little bit this morning, just spent a little time early with the Lord, and I just needed something. And this is what God sent me by way of a text. Here it is. Brother Mike says, isn't it amazing that God would give His precious Son for us? We get to be His kids. And today, we get to tell others about Him. Wow. May you preach today with an overflowing love for the Savior. God bless you, my friend, praying for you today. You know, that came from another preacher over in Mississippi. You know, yes, just reminding us that we're kids in the kingdom of God, and we by being a part of the kingdom of God, we get to enjoy the very provisions that God has for us today. We're not left without anything today. Well, God doesn't owe us anything, but just because we're part of that kingdom of God, that family of God, look at the provisions that are laid out before us. I mean, really, we don't have anything to really seek and want for, because God is there to provide our every need. So we should seek the will of God and fulfill it in our lives, no matter what the circumstances may be. And as Jesus promised, this will guarantee God's favor toward us, and in turn likely gain us favor in the eyes of those around us. Romans 8:32. Turn over there quickly if you would. Romans 8:32. Paul said in this particular passage, Romans 8:32, a great verse that goes along with just having a purpose to in your heart to serve God. He says in verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Then we're reminded of Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When we seek the kingdom of God and we become a child of God, then we enjoy the very provisions that God has for us. Let me ask you, will we dare today to be a Daniel? In other words, to be the person of purpose like God would have us to be. No matter how young or how old we may be here today, it is never too early or too late to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And throughout his life, Daniel not only had a strong sense of purpose, but secondly, Daniel was a man of principle as well. You study his life, you'll know that he was a man of great principle. That's what made him great. A man of principle. In other words, he refused, as we said a few moments ago, he refused to compromise. And as a young man, often when we're young, as young men, it's easier. Young men and women, it's easy to compromise our convictions. I've noticed when, as I shared with you my life when I was younger, it was easy to compromise convictions, and it is. But Daniel, as a young man, refused to eat at the table the king's meat, drink his wine. Why? Because that was for pagan worship, basically. Then later, as an old man, look in Daniel chapter 5, we see that Daniel refused the gifts of Belshazzar. Who would turn down the gifts of a king, especially what the king was offering? But Daniel did that because he had convictions that he was going to live by. He was a man of principle. Look in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 13, if you'll look there with me. Daniel chapter 5. And look down, if you would, begin in verse 13. "Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry," that is from Judea? "I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show me the interpretation of the thing." Now verse 16. "And I have heard," speaking of Daniel, "of thee, that thou canst, you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts," that is, solve problems. "Now, if thou canst read the writings and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed," here's the gifts, "thou shalt be clothed with scarlet," that is purple, "and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." In other words, he says, I'll make you somebody. I'll make you look like a king. You will be somebody of great importance. But notice Daniel's answer in verse 17. "Then Daniel answered, and he said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself." That is, let your gifts be for yourself. "And give thy rewards to another. Yet, or nevertheless, I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." You know what? Who would turn down that? Well, a man of principle would. A believer that has convictions would. And Daniel realized that, hey, for me to take what the king is offering would mean that I would have to accept that the fact that I'm above God. But he says, I've got convictions. He didn't say that to the king, but he was acting out his conviction, his principles that had lived by. He also refused to compromise his convictions over in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, where we're probably most familiar with this passage. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, he refused to compromise his convictions. He was under great threat of persecution, you got to understand, as we don't have time to go and read all of this. But he refused to obey the decree of Darius. What was that decree? That you had to pray. You could not pray. And for a certain period of time. Well, Daniel was known, and there were those who were out to get Daniel. And they were out to make Daniel to be something bad in the eyes of the king. So they got the king to write up some decree that, you know, you, I think, what, 30 days you're not allowed to pray or whatever, something along that line. You had to acknowledge the king. And so I'm paraphrasing that passage, but of course Daniel was a man of convictions. He was a man of principle. Look, if you would, in verse 10, in Daniel 6. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his home, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before God. Why did he do this? Because he, as the Bible says, as he did aforetime. That's just something he always did, prayed. He didn't change his life. He didn't change just because the government says, hey, okay, we've wrote a law, a new law, that you can't practice the Word of God anymore. And so you're not allowed to do that. Well, Daniel decided, hey, either I'm going to practice the laws of man or the laws of God. Sometimes, church, we're put in that position, and more so today than we've ever been. Either we're going to stand for God and by this book, or we're going to have to stand for the laws of the land. Well, if it comes down to it, I know what God says we're to do, like Daniel. Be men and women of principle. Stand by the Word of God, because if we stand with God, God will always stand with us. And by the way, although he refused to compromise his convictions, we know that people admire persons with a principle. They do. Outwardly, sometimes they may ridicule us, but inwardly they wish that they had that same fortitude, that intestinal fortitude to take a stand. And when they need someone that can be trusted and depended upon to carry through with an assigned task, they'll think of those who are taking a stand. Hopefully you. You know, Daniel was that kind of person. He was a man of principle. But God, you know, also admires individuals who will take a stand on the principles of God's Word. You know, our society is, I'm sure you know this, our society is in great need today of people with principle. Boy, we need that. People who will stand on the convictions. And I say that as far as Christians, the only way that this world around us, and let me say this, America in particular, is going to get back to where we need to be with God, it's going to take believers to take a stand. The atheists, just here recently, and they do this every year, they like to picket Alabama. I mean, this atheist group, they, you know, and this has been in the news, even hit Fox News this week, where a high school, and I forget the name of it, somewhere here in the state, kids taking a stand to pray, or the school praying over the intercom. Well, somebody writes a letter to the superintendent and the principal, and of course they bow to this group because they threaten lawsuits. And by the way, you know, we live in that day where that just seems to be the thing to do to scare people. And so sure enough, they quit praying. But yet, you know, these kids come out now with their signs, their banners. And they sing, they pray the Lord's Prayer, and they take a stand. You know, just simple things like that. It's going to take Christians to say, hey, you know, we're going to be believers that have principle. Now, we're not going to riot. We're not going to throw bombs and things of that nature, as we see some groups like to do. But we're going to demonstrate the love of God to the lost and dying world by taking a stand on the Word of God. And that's what Daniel did. And he was a man that, yes, he demonstrated example of being a man of principle. He was not bought out. No one could buy Daniel out. But he had a purpose and a principle that really made him successful when it came to being great for God. What that element is that we see in the life of Daniel is an element that we can have in our life. Observe with me the third point. Daniel was a man of purity. He was a man of purity. Now, yes, to be great for God, part of greatness is being pure in our stand for God. Daniel's opponents could not find any fault in Daniel. Go back in Daniel chapter 6 and with me in verse 1. The Bible says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, over these high officials, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, that is, the other high officials. So this really set the temperament high here. There was now jealousy within the cabinet of the king there, of Daniel. So we've got to find fault in Daniel. So the king preferred above Daniel above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, the whole kingdom. And then the presidents, that is the high officials, and princes sought to find occasions, that is a ground for complaint against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But notice this next phrase. It's very important we get this. But they could find none occasion, nor fault, for as much as he was what? Faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. That wasn't to say that Daniel was a perfect man. He wasn't. But one thing he did, he lived an exemplary life. He was a man of purity. It was hard to find fault in Daniel. Matter of fact, they had a hard time finding any fault. He was faultless when it came to management of business affairs. I mean, he was working in a secular realm of life, and they couldn't find fault in his business affairs. And by the way, this would help to explain his rise to positions of great responsibility and power. And of course, his purity in business affairs was related to the fact that his overall purpose was to please God. And you know what? All of us go out into our work every day. Some of you work secular jobs, and sometimes you may be put in positions of compromise or compromise your principles and convictions. I mean, your stand for God and so forth. And you know, there are people observing, even your boss sometimes wondering, wonder if they really mean business. You know, sometimes even to the point that people watch whether we even pray over our food or not. Now, we don't do that to be seen. But obviously, there needs to be an example set when it comes to living what we preach sometimes. Right? And the fact that as a man of principle, Daniel was a man that could be trusted by the king himself. You see, the Christian is also to maintain purity of conduct, whether young or old. I like what 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of what? The believers in word, in conversation, in charity, that is in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, people who maintain purity in their dealings with others are often given positions of great responsibility. You look in the cabinet of Donald Trump. Who is his vice president? Man, you couldn't have chosen a better man for a vice president who has come out and has expressed his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's expressed very openly that he's a believer. And you find there are other believers within his cabinet that he has put in a position where, yeah, they're not liked by some. There may be even some jealousy. But yet, who put these people in the position they are in? Well, we could credit Donald Trump, but yet ultimately God elevates. And sometimes, you know, if we take the stand for God that we need to take, sometimes God would put us in a position, maybe in our own workplace where we wasn't expecting it, you know, just because we took that stand for God. Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of principle. He was a man of purity. But the element that likely, listen to me, the element that likely tied all of these together in such a way to receive the blessings of God and the favor in man is the fact that Daniel, number four, was a man of prayer. Oh, listen, Daniel was a man of prayer. You know, we see that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel was a man of prayer. He knelt in prayer. And by that demonstrated his humility. He prayed, the Bible says, three times a day. And by the way, you can pray more than that, but that was just, he had a set time where he prayed, probably morning, noon, evening, whatever. But he prayed three times a day, and that demonstrated his continual dependence upon God. And he gave thanks in the midst of persecution. Even when he was being persecuted, in his time of prayer, he gave thanks to God in the midst of his persecution, a demonstration of his gratitude and the fact that he had not lost sight of God's blessings. And his prayers were accustomed since early days of his life, demonstrating his persistence and his faithfulness to the service of God. Oh, listen. It's likely that Daniel's custom to pray so diligently, I believe that helped him to remain the man of purpose that he was. Do you agree with that? I mean, that helped him to remain the man of principle and the man of purity that he was. Because you see, he realized that, listen, what keeps him great in the eyes of God in these areas was his time that he would spend with God every day. His time that he would spend on his knees with the Lord. You know, we would do well to follow Daniel's example, wouldn't we, today? We would do well to follow Daniel's example and to strive to be great for God. And I believe that's the desire probably for every one of us here this morning. That we could all say, yes, preacher, I want to be great for God. Well, you know what? There's a cost involved. You know, there's a cost of having that purpose that set our mind that this is what I'm going to do every day. I'm not going to be a wishy-washy Christian. I'm not going to be one way today and another way tomorrow. But I'm going to have to set my mind that this is what I'm going to be for God every day of my life. And we have to be a man or woman of principle. We're going to stick to our convictions. When everyone else seems to be bailing out, and sometimes even other Christians, but we're going to stick to our principles, and that we're going to be men and women of purity. That, listen, despite the influences around us and the temptation to give in, you realize there's some churches today, and let me say this, even churches in our own town, I'm not bad-mouthing all churches, but there's some new things that's going, there's a new phase going on. Listen, you're hearing about it. To get more people in, you've got to accept things that we used to would not accept. For instance, one thing is alcohol. You know, alcohol is no different to me than any other kind of drug out there. Alcohol is a drug. Now, how you can get by with promoting alcohol on, I get, they are able to do that on television, right? They have commercials, is that right? I know I hear it on radio. Every time I hear one on radio, I just turn the radio off till they get through the commercial, and then I turn it back on. Because you see, I just read of a family out in California, reminded me of Jeremy and his family, that was just about a month ago. Why a mother who was going back forth to the hospital to visit her two twin daughters. They were still in the hospital. They were born premature. Every day she's going back for about a month. She had already had four boys and had two twin daughters. Beautiful kids. She was traveling back and forth. Just recently, she left the hospital after spending several hours at the hospital. And on her way home, she is involved in a very tragic accident and was killed. Her husband noticed that she wasn't at home at the time that she normally was supposed to be home. And so he tries contacting her on the cell phone and could not get through. So he decides to travel the route that she would travel. And he comes upon an accident scene. And of course, it was his wife. She was killed tragically by a drunk driver. Now, that makes you angry just in that fact. But you read the rest of the story. Now, I don't know if this family was a Christian family or not, but you have to believe the way he responded to this, he was. To teach his four boys, and I think probably the oldest was maybe 8 or 10 years old. All of them just were down in age. He had to now call his boys in, I think later that night or that next morning, and tell them, and a lot of people had gathered by now, to tell them what had happened to their mother. And I hate to end on a story like this. But as they gathered in, he set them down and told them what happened to Mom. Of course, explained to them that, first of all, that, you know, about death. And shared with them what happened to Mom. Of course, obviously the boys were all broken apart. But what he told them just really just impacted my life when I read the story. He says, you know, we have to learn to forgive the one who caused the accident. We have to forgive that person. You know, teaching his boys not to live life of hate, but forgiveness. And you know, that takes a lot. I haven't been in that position. I hope and pray I never, and you're never in that position. But you know, it only takes. You'd only be able to deal with that by the grace of God. Now I say all that to say this. Daniel was a man of purpose. He faced many things in his life, and some of you are here. You face many things in your life, and as Christians, sometimes we wonder how we're going to deal with that next issue that comes about in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to continue every day our life in prayer, don't we? We need to pray all throughout the day. We need to end our day in prayer. If our efforts to live a purpose with a purposeful life for God, then sure, we can accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish. We need to have that principle. We need to live that purity of life. But maybe, you know, we have to understand that none of that can be accomplished without spending time with an Almighty God every day. To be great for God, are we willing to be like Daniel? To spend and take time with God every day. Because we never know what tragic event we're going to be faced with in life. We never know what decision that we're going to be faced with in life. And hopefully, we can deal with whatever comes our way with the kind of greatness that we saw demonstrated here, we see demonstrated in the life of Daniel. You know, there's a false assumption that to get ahead in this world, one must conform to the sinful practices of this world. That's a false assumption, isn't it? You know, and that's why I was alluding to the fact that sometimes even preachers today are advocating, listen, we don't have to preach against sin. Alcohol is okay for a little social drink. No. Listen, one drink, one drug, one sin, what doesn't matter, leads to other sins. So we don't need to compromise our convictions just because we see others doing it. Let's take that stand for God and be great in the eyes of God. Let's stand to our feet. All